friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
We go to the fan hotline. He's one of our favorite guys to have join the show. He is the chief bottle washer at Pro Football Talk. Mike's created an empire there. Well, he's been writing books. The big shield is out. He's Mr. Mike Florio. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you today? Thanks for having me again.
Hey. Well, we appreciate having you. The big shield's doing some big things. What's going on?
Well, 99-cent ebook, one of the dumbest decisions I've ever made. I should have put the price point higher, but the good news is it's moving because at 99 cents, there's nothing you can find cheaper than that. And a candy bar is gone in like 5 seconds. This True. Takes a little bit longer to fully and completely digest. $14.99 for the print edition. It has been doing extremely well. It's a tale of the mob gambling and a professional football league that is definitely not the National Football League. That is a caveat that my lawyer, i.e. me, has suggested I provide whenever talking about it. So I can't stop you from envisioning NFL teams when we talk about Las Vegas, Baltimore, Minnesota, etc. But it's not the NFL.
Understood. Glad we got that one taken care of. So the Browns, out of nowhere, story goes, get a phone call from the Cincinnati Bengals, of all people, asking if they would be interested in trading a 40-year-old quarterback to a division rival. What did you think when that all went down?
I wasn't surprised. The Bengals had gone beyond desperation to panic mode. They needed someone other than Jake Browning. They had a backup that they thought could function as a starter, and he didn't. 3 interceptions last week, losses galore. He was 4-3 as the starter in 2023 when Joe Burrow had a wrist injury, but it just wasn't working. Blown out by the Vikings, embarrassed by the Broncos, blown out by the Lions in a game that looked not as bad as it was because of some garbage time touchdowns by Cincinnati. They had to do something. I'm surprised they didn't call the Giants for Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston. And from the Browns' perspective, hey, this is found money. This is a guy that was on the roster the rest of his salary this year as a practical matter guaranteed. They didn't intend to play him again. They're not going to pivot from Dylan Gabriel back to Joe Flacco. The only way Flacco would have played is if the other two guys, Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, had played and gotten injured. So this is a bonus. This is an upgrade of a draft pick from round 6 to round 5 in this trade with the Bengals. And the way the Bengals are going, it could be a pretty high 5th-round pick. So I understand why they did it. And they're not going to get caught up in this idea of you don't trade within the division. It's all analytics-driven. Analytics don't take division rivalries into account. They got something when they otherwise would have gotten nothing.
What's going on here? Can you help me? I'm sitting here. We sit here every day, and I'm wondering what it looks like outside of Cuyahoga County, or even though our county commissioner doesn't realize that where they're building. Never mind. That's another story for another day. What when you look at what the Browns are doing right now, what do you see?
Well, a wise man known as Juju Smith-Schuster once said, "The Browns is the Browns," and you know the idea that Kevin Stefanski didn't even know the trade was coming. On the surface, you'd say that's surprising. But, you know, this is a team where I believe, based upon the various pieces of circumstantial evidence over the course of the last 13 years, I believe the owner is very involved in pushing the needle toward the things he wants. And one of the benefits of being a multi-billionaire is you never have to give a direct order. When your preferences are made known to the people who work for you and who presumably hope to continue to work for you, they act accordingly. So this is a team that has prioritized certain things from time to time, like stockpiling salary cap space and getting as many draft picks for the future as they can. They see what's happening this year. They understand that the road to contention is going to be very difficult. They're now trying to see what they have in Dylan Gabriel. They may eventually see what they have in Shedeur Sanders as they evaluate what they're going to do with their first-round pick next year, which could be high enough to get a potential franchise quarterback all over again. So I understand what they're doing. You know, even though they beat the Packers, that's more of an aberration than a trend, and they're making business decisions for the future.
Like turning around and trading one pretty decent corner for another pretty decent corner and flopping some picks and adjusting finances? That's all we can think of with the trade with Jacksonville.
Well, the one thing we don't know about the Tyson Campbell for Greg Newsome, the second trade, is whether and to what extent there had been negotiations on a potential extension for Newsome. He's making $13 million this year as his fifth-year option. The franchise tag this year for corners is just over $20 million. It'll probably be $22, $23 million next year because the cap always goes up. And we don't know what Newsome may have been looking for by way of a long-term contract. What you get now is 3 years of Tyson Campbell after this season. You get him this year for $1.08 million. That's the balance of his salary for 2025. The next 3 years average out to $15.2 million. That's well below the $19.175 million new money average on the contract he signed last year in Jacksonville. So they're getting a guy that they know is going to be there. And they've already had the contract pre-negotiated with millions in hand that were transferred by the Jaguars. The Jaguars are going to take a $22 million dead money charge next year for this contract. That's $22 million that's already been paid to Campbell that the Browns don't have to pay. So I think that it's as simple as they didn't think they were going to be able to keep Newsome on a long-term deal. And when you play out the franchise tag, hey, let's just pay a guy $15.2 million for 3 years. Now, the only caveat is Tyson Campbell may decide, I want more money at some point sooner than later, and then they'll have an issue there. But on paper, they have a guy under contract through 2027 at an average of $15.2 million, and it gave them a longer-term answer at the position than they had with Newsome. And again, they're not going to advertise this, or maybe they'll leak it to help justify it, but if Newsome's people were looking for market level compensation, to be able to get Campbell at $15 million a year is a pretty good deal.
What do you think is going on with the Browns quarterback situation? Where do you think they want to go? Like, the Flacco thing caught me a little off guard that Kevin was like, oh, it just kind of happened. And, you know, we sit here and Mike, we're arguing about our number three quarterback here. Like that dominates the airwaves here in Cleveland for a guy who's the emergency quarterback on Sunday. Like, what do you think the big plan was? And what do you think the plan is? Because Jeff and I will sit here and say, well, they're going to take those two first round picks and draft somebody next year.
Well, it's all analytics. I mean, that's what drives these decisions. And they don't think about team building. They don't think about the human dynamics. There's no formula for that. When you use a third round pick on Dylan Gabriel and you send the message that this guy is potentially going to be the future, and then two rounds later you draft Shedeur Sanders because the gap between him and the next available player was so big you could no longer ignore it, then you create a situation where you're going to have these issues. And I doubt that there was any effort by the team, whether it was the GM or the chief strategy officer, the head coach, whoever was involved in the decision. And at the end of the day, these are things that get nudged by ownership. You have to be very careful as an owner to not weigh in with what you would like to have happen, because it is, as I said, very easy for the people who work for you to read your cues and do the thing that they think you want them to do. And so you have this mess now where Shedeur is going to create a headline no matter what he says, or even if he says nothing at all. And this is where the Browns are, and they have to figure this one out. I saw the report over the weekend that the expectation is Shedeur will play at some point this year. That if that's the expectation, then that really is a recognition that they're not going to contend. Because if Dylan Gabriel would play well and the team would start winning games, why in the hell would you bench him for Shedeur Sanders? So,
hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
If that's true, that they already plan to play him at some point this year, then they really are in 2026 mode, and everything that happens now is just a precursor to next year. It reminds me of the claims that Hugh Jackson made after he was fired and after he got every dollar of his buyout. You know, he filed a grievance with the league suggesting that he was the fall guy. He was the scapegoat for this plan that basically was sophisticated tanking. You know, nobody tried to lose, but, hey, people get bonuses. People get incentive payments for the amount of salary cap space we carry from one year to the next. People get bonuses based upon the number of draft picks that we can stockpile for next year. And embedded within all that is sacrificing the present in the name of building the future. And the Browns are the kings of that right now. Forget about the present. Let's build for the future. And then when the future becomes the present, forget about the present. Let's build for the future. And that's been the lather, rinse, repeat cycle for this team for a decade now.
It's interesting. You talked about chief strategy officer there because somebody sent me this over the weekend, and I was like, yeah, I guess he's right. That when they brought in Paul DePodesta since then, and you talk about the analytics, they're 54-80-1. What makes you think the analytics is working correctly when you're 54-80-1? And how many chief strategy officers, I don't even know there are, how many there are in the NFL, how many of them would survive 54-80-1?
Well, not many, and I don't know how many there are. And this was this revolutionary approach that we're going to take a guy who used analytics successfully in baseball and translate that to an entirely different sport where intangibles matter, where the movements of 11 players at the same time, good, bad, otherwise, influence the result, not the individual attributes of the players. You know, in baseball, it's very simple. It's pitcher versus batter and a bunch of bystanders, and, you know, they're good enough that they're supposed to do their job when the ball comes their way. So it is a fundamentally different thing. And I think that it's as simple as, you know, look at the Cowboys. Jerry Jones meddles, but he's the general manager. The buck stops with him. He takes the heat when the team is unsuccessful. And obviously, he's never going to fire the GM because the GM is him. In Cleveland, I almost feel like these layers are buffer for the owner getting what the owner wants. And if you're the chief strategy officer and the strategy that you're ultimately implementing is doing the thing that you think the owner wants you to do and coming up with mathematical justification for it, then you're not going to get fired. And that's really the dynamic here. It provides cover for the owner to meddle in the same way that Jerry Jones does without the title of general manager to go along with it. And yeah, the longer that this lasts without accountability, it, I think, creates the logical conclusion that these folks all still have jobs in the front office because they're smart enough to do what the owner wanted them to do. And if it was time to fire these people, you know, the easy response is, hey, we just did what we thought you wanted. And it probably would be hard for Jimmy Haslam to dispute that.
Mike, the trade with Jacksonville, it's interesting, and I think we're all on the same page. There's some money here and kind of looking long-term. With that in mind, trade deadline less than a month away, is a long-term move by the Browns to trade off pieces and accumulate draft choices, or might it be a different approach where they try and poach some young talent off of teams that might be trying to move on from it for late-round picks or something like that?
Well, look, it all depends upon contract status, where the team thinks the player might fit into the future. But I just believe that this team is committed to this idea of having salary cap space and having draft picks, especially when there's still many millions, right? There are nine figures tied up in dead money still to be attributed to Deshaun Watson. I've said before, one of the reasons he's on the team right now, if you cut him now, the dead money charge next year is $135 million. They have structured the contract to kick the can under the salary cap, and there is still going to be a lot of money, a lot of funny money that is attributed to his name in the future. So they have an extra incentive to get as much salary cap space as they can because so much of it is still going to be tied up in really what was the single worst transaction in NFL history, especially when you sprinkle on top of the contract and the draft picks that were lost, which are very affordable players who become the heart and soul of your team if you still have those picks. The rise of Baker Mayfield has to be taken into account, too, and that just makes a horrible decision by the Browns seem even worse.
Do you think Deshaun is on this team when that contract expires?
Well,
In other words, is he here next year for the season?
I think so. I think so because they've done these extensions and they've kicked the salary cap money into future years, and I'd have to do some research, which is a fancy way of saying I don't know what the consequences would be if they would cut him with a post-June 1 designation after the season. I don't know what that would do. It would push, it would at a minimum push a bulk of the cap charges into the 2027 league year, but I think they have it set up so they have the voidable years that carry the cap charges out in the future years, and you need to keep him around long enough, possibly until the full completion of the contract, to get the benefit of this structuring they've done to push the cap charges out in the future years. And in hindsight, they probably wish they'd just taken the cap charges now, because what is the cap space that they've saved done for them? Nothing.
Mm. All right. I ease Browns fans' mind, or let them know, especially because the defense isn't playing so well. Do you think, you kind of alluded to it a little bit before, but as they get closer to the trade deadline, do you think they'll be selling off pieces?
Well, it all depends upon what pieces they think aren't going to be part of the team next year. Once you're aware that you're not going to have a guy on the team next year, then you get into the analysis of, wait a minute, are we going to cut him? Because if you're going to cut him, you've got no chance of getting compensation via the compensatory draft pick system. Are we going to let him walk away as a free agent? What are we going to do? But once you know the guy's not going to be there, and if you're not playing the compensatory draft pick game, if they intend to go out and sign a bunch of free agents and maybe they wouldn't get compensatory draft picks anyway, then you start looking for compensation now. So it's all to be determined, and the trade deadline is the Tuesday after week 9. Remember, it was the Browns who proposed that it be moved from the Tuesday after week 8 until the Tuesday after week 9. That gives the bad teams more time to conclude that they're bad and that they should go ahead and sell off pieces. So I think they're in play right now, you know, unless they start winning some games. Whenever we start getting closer and closer to the trade deadline, it's an annual item that we end up dusting off and repackaging and pointing out again. It comes down to what happens those last couple of weeks for a lot of these teams. If you win the last couple of games before the trade deadline, you feel differently about selling. If you lose them, you feel differently about selling off assets. And conversely, you know, teams can become buyers if they get hot between now and week 9. So I think a lot of it's to be determined, but we're already seeing the decisions being made to move on from players who they believe won't be with the team next year.
He's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, author of Big Shield. Go get it. You can go to Pro Football Talk and get it right there. And Mike, congratulations on the success of the book.
Thank you, guys. Great talking to you.
Hey, thanks.
Mike Florio joining us on the Fan Hotline.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.